Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Daily Gold Podcast. Well, my next guest, I interviewed him towards the end of November, and he said that gold was about to enter Nirvana. And well, to be honest, I mean, pardon my French, but he fucking nailed it. I mean, he fucking nailed it, because in the last several weeks, it appears that gold has entered Nirvana. That's why I had to have him back and get an update on this. He's Robertson, also known as CEO Technician on Twitter, and Goldfinger as well. You can follow his YouTube channel at Goldfinger Capital. Goldie, it's great to have you back. I mean, congratulations on a great call. I know you don't care a great deal about that, but so gold has entered Nirvana. So what's next? What happens now?
Oh boy, we've entered Nirvana. Well, first of all, thanks for, you know, having me on, Jordan. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all the content you put out. I mean, to have somebody who literally comments on the gold market almost every single day is pretty amazing. And that's special. And I got a lot of value from your commentary. So thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it feels good that gold has had this big move, but I don't know if it's Nirvana yet. I feel like Nirvana is what's next. I feel we're the prelude to that. So we're getting warmed up here, you know, and, you know, today we had a pullback. And actually, when you sent me a message yesterday, you know, let's talk, I was thinking, well, the first thing I'm going to have to say, so people don't get too crazy, is that, hey, we're a little overbought here near term. So we might, you know, we might be due for a $50 or $60 drop soon. And sure enough, the day we have the conversation, you know, we're down 30 bucks. So, yeah, I mean, I think this gold market is great because nobody knows or seems to know why it's going up. And I feel like nobody has much exposure to gold. So I feel like we're just getting warmed up here, Jordan.
Okay, so we're not quite in Nirvana yet, but that's what we'll be going into when we start making another move higher. Is that what you're saying? Is it going to feel more like Nirvana? Is it a certain level, price level that we have to get to? I mean, 2,400 maybe, 2,500. Maybe you could answer that question. And then the second part of that, you know, because I do like to just ask about 20,000 questions in these interviews, but any upside targets you have?
Nirvana will be the move from 2,200 to 2,400, I think. And that'll be the move that gets the crowd involved, right? The crowd's not in gold here at 2,162. Like, the guy on the street doesn't own any gold. But the move from 2,200 to 2,400...
I was going to say, the guy on the street doesn't own any pants either. But I'm sorry, I had to interrupt.
He might own Bitcoin. Yeah. He might own Bitcoin and NVIDIA, though.
That's true.
I think the move from 2,200 to 2,400 is the one that we're really, you know, that's the one that we're looking for. I mean, this has been nice, no doubt. And some people have made some money who have been long. But it's a 10% move. I mean, the you know, we talk late November, I think gold was 1980. So we got to 2203 a few days ago. So it's a little bit more than a 10% move. That's a pretty good move for gold. I mean, if gold does 10% a year, that's a pretty good clip. But I feel like the Nirvana move, the one where the gold miners start moving up 100% or 200%, will be the one from 2200 to 2400. And you know, my bigger picture, like you asked me, long-term price target, like my bigger picture price target for gold, probably like late 2025 would be 2700. But I'd be happy if we hit 2400 in the next year. And I think that this year we will have that 2200 to 2400 move. But I don't think it has to happen second. In fact, I wrote to my subscribers on Monday that I would like to see a consolidation now between 2100 and 2200 to sort of build that wall of worry.
Thinking about the bigger picture, because I know you want to talk about market psychology and all that goes with it. Can you talk about how we could be, I don't want to, you know, put words or ideas in your mouth, how, you know, we're about to, you know, we're going to be entering Nirvana. If we're entering a new, you know, a real bull market, as I like to say, it appears to me that, and I'm guessing you probably share this view, that there's going to be a psychological change. Like if we're going into a market that people haven't seen for more than a decade, all the rules that were true in recent years and in the last decade or so with respect to trading precious metals and gold and you know, gold stocks and juniors, those things can change. And it can take people and, you know, investors a real long time to really get a handle on that, because the old rules can they can stay firmly in place for a while, even if gold goes to 22, 23, 2400. So, I mean, do you have any, is that kind of what you're thinking in terms of psychology, or do you see it different? I mean, what could you say about those things?
Well, for, you know, let's make a clear dichotomy between gold and gold miners. So there are two different topics. So the first topic is gold itself. So the gold American Eagle I have in my pocket, right? That's something that I don't want to let go of for a long time. I mean, maybe till I'm 70 or something, or maybe never, you know. It's going to have to be a very high price for me to want to exchange that for dollars, okay? And in a bull market, there's always an urge to sell. Price is going up. Just look at Bitcoin, for example. So Bitcoin is in a bull market. Now, undoubtedly, that's a different topic. But let's just talk about price action. You know, you're a technician and I'm a technician. Price action in Bitcoin is undoubtedly a bull market. It's a bull market on multiple timeframes. But the temptation at 40,000 was to sell. The temptation at 50,000 was to sell. The temptation at 60,000 was to sell. And now the temptation at 70,000 is to sell. The temptation is always to take profits. The hardest part of a bull market is being right and sitting tight. It's just, you're positioned, you're in the bull market. Now, can you stay in the bull market? Can you fully profit from the bull market? So gold has broken out to all-time highs. Making new highs is the definition of a bull market. Gold is in a bull market, just like Bitcoin is in a bull market. So now, as investors, our job is to stay positioned and benefit from the bull market, stay long as we possibly can. So that's topic number one, gold. Okay, so that's done. Now let's talk about gold miners. Whole different ball game, totally different ball of wax. And a lot of investors confuse the two. You know, they conflate them all the time on Twitter. I'll post a gold chart and they'll say something negative. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, but the miners. They're like, well, okay, that's different. I posted a gold chart. We're at 2,200. What are you talking about? And they're talking about some mining stock that they've held for 5 years that they're down on. The miners are transitioning out of a bear market right now. It's not confirmed. We can't confirm that gold mining sector is in a bull market. If you look at the gold bugs, we're just coming off the bottom. You know, we just had a little bit of an impulse higher. But if I'm right that gold at some point later in this year is going to make that move from 2200 to 2400, I expect that the gold mining sector will transition into a bull. And at some point later in the year, we're going to have a very powerful rise in the gold mining shares. It could be a rise where the GDX goes up 100%, okay, at some point, okay? It's hard for me to time that. I'm not psychic, you know, but if I'm right about gold, the gold miner should do that. And at some point, we should have greed kick in. But we're far from greed. in the gold mining sector right now. We're still in fear, complacency, and doubt. There's a lot of doubt that the sector can actually go up, right? So that's actually, it's that doubt, it's that skepticism that these stocks like Barrick, like Newmont, like Coeur Mining, like Kinross, there's a lot of doubt that these stocks can actually make a large move higher. Okay. And that is, we planted the seeds. We've had a capitulation. We've had a big drop. Everybody's been shaken out. Everybody hates the sector. So we have the perfect fertile soil sentiment for a bull. It's the ashes of the bear that plant the seeds for the bull to grow, right? And we have those seeds planted now in the gold mining sector. Now, it's going to take some time, but at some point here, we're going to transition from doubt to thrill. People are going to be like, oh, this is fun. They're going up. I'm going to add more exposure, and then I'm going to add more exposure. At some point later in the year, we'll get to euphoria. Right. And then we'll have a big drop. But I still think we're very early in this.
Okay. Silver. So what's going on with silver? I think you mentioned 2,700. I'll get to the follow up. I'll just let you go first on your thoughts on silver at this point.
My thoughts on the silver is that it's a tough metal to trade. It's very tough to trade. The most fun I ever had trading, though, was in 2011 during that crazy silver bull move from $20 to $50 and then back down to $20. That was a blast, but that was a very short-lived few months. Silver generally is a shitty trading vehicle, and it's very tough to forecast. But we will know that we're getting to nirvana when silver makes a weekly close above $26 an ounce, okay? That will be the first major shot across the bow. And we'll know we're in nirvana when silver breaks out above $30. And then it, all hell will break loose when gold is at 2350 or 2400 and silver's at 31 or 32, then it's going to be just silly season, right? And the mining stocks will have an absolutely crazy move. And that's when you want to start to see, that's when you want to trade out of your miners. You want to be selling there. Or you want to be taking profits when everybody is piling into precious metals, right? But we're nowhere near that point now. I mean, this first move up in gold is just getting started, breaking out to new highs, all-time highs, and nobody owns it. And silver is lagging, and a lot of people are complaining about why silver is lagging. So that's great. That's great. We got the seeds of doubt. We got the wall of worry.
So I think you mentioned 2,700. That's a target that you have for gold. Is that going to be enough to get silver to 50, or do you have a corresponding target for gold 2,700?
I don't know if that'll get silver to 50. It's really hard to say, Jordan. The gold silver ratio is really hard to. I mean, I think when gold is 2,700, you'll definitely have silver at 40. But I don't know about 50. You know, it's really tough because that gold silver ratio can shift around quite a bit. And definitely during a precious metals bull, like a really strong bull, you would expect it to drop down to 50 or under 50 at some point. But it's really hard to say. And I'm not gonna forecast that, but I'll just say I'll be very happy when gold hits 2,700.
Like, yeah, we all will be. So in your time frame, you're thinking about the next year or two, or the next 18, 24 months for 2,700?
For 2,400, I would 2400, say, okay. I would say 2,400 in the next year. I would say 2,700 in the next 2 years.
Okay. And so, I mean, not to relegate you to just being a short-term trader, but that's what you're most keen on. That's what you're thinking about is the, you know, short to medium term, not necessarily 3 or 5 years out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't, like, for example, I write a pretty regular commentary. So if every day I write, my prediction is gold's going to hit 2,700 at some point in the next few years, it's not going to be a very interesting commentary, right? I mean, obviously, I have a long-term outlook, and I generally have a target area, but 2,700 gold is a long way off right now. Right. And there's a lot of permutations on the way there. And especially in the miners, the miners are to be traded, not really to be invested in. Although I think now you could position yourself long and be willing to hold for 12 months, but not forever. Okay. You've got to sell the miners at some point. But yeah. I focus mainly on, let's say, hourly and daily timeframes. I'm not terribly focused on 5 years from now.
Right. Let's step back and talk about the big picture, the macro. I mean, you know, as a trader, you can't obsess over why everything is moving. But just give me your sense of what's happening in these markets right now, where, you know, just macro, you know, the Fed's going to hike, and now, you know, Biden comes out and then he talks, and there's 100% chance of a rate cut in June. I mean, if you're following the macro data, it just seems like it's all over the place. And, you know, then, you know, you got this great breakout in gold. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a question in
no, I think I got your question.
Give me some color on what do you think is driving this move, and you know, what is the narrative? Because you know that narratives follow price. So what narrative is going to develop after this breakout?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you hit the nail on the head. What's the narrative going to be when gold is above 2,200 on its way to 2,400, right? And so I think gold, the gold market is skating to where the puck is going. The puck isn't there yet, but the puck is going there. And the gold market has sniffed it out. And to some extent, the stock market has sniffed it out. So the first thing we need to be really aware of is that it's an election year in the U.S. It's a big presidential election. A lot of Senate seats are up for grabs. House seats are up to grabs, are up for grabs. The balance of power in the U.S. is up for grabs. And so we can absolutely bet our last dollar that there's going to be a huge amount of spending, a huge amount of pandering by both candidates. And Biden has already proposed a $7.3 trillion budget. Now, they do their projections, and they project what the tax revenues are going to be, and they make forecasts 10 years from now how we're going to cut the deficit and all this nonsense. But what you really need to focus on is the spending. And last year, the U.S. had a $6.1 trillion budget. So our budget is going up 20%. In 1 year, and they're saying the deficit's going to be about the same. I don't buy it for a second. I think the deficit's going to be 1.8 to 2 trillion. So the deficit is ballooning. It's swelling again. The debt is ballooning, continuing to go up. Trump wants to cut taxes. So here we have 127% debt to GDP. We're running $1.5, $1.6 trillion deficits. And one of the candidates who's in the lead in the polling wants to cut taxes and create even bigger deficits, right? So the fiscal side of the equation in the U.S. is a disaster, unmitigated disaster. So the U.S. debt is rising $1 trillion every 100 days. Just the interest alone is now about $1 trillion a year. It's mind-boggling. I mean, the amounts of money, the number of zeros involved here are mind-boggling. So that's what gold is sniffing out here. Okay. And then if we took a, you know, so now the monetary policy side of it, yeah, inflation seems sticky around 3%. It doesn't look, I mean, at least not anything I'm seeing, that CPI is coming back to 2% in the next year. It might take another couple of years. So, you know, but that's not necessary for the Fed to start cutting. And actually, in his testimony last week, Powell was very dovish. I was surprised at how dovish he was. And that just shows how difficult a spot the Fed is in. The fact that he's not, they're not back to their target on inflation, but he's basically committed to rate cuts starting this year. He hasn't committed to exactly when or how many, but last week he basically put it in the book that they're going to be cutting in the second half of this year. Some people say June, it might be later, but the Fed's going to cut. Clearly, it's not going to be six cuts in 2024, but there might be three, at least two. But anyway, the fact that the Fed is going to be cutting when it seems like the job market is still robust and the stock market is making new highs and inflation is sticky. I mean, the CPI came in today at 3.2%. So we're still above 3%. It's that in itself is very shocking to some market observers and some Fed observers, right? And I think it has to do with the fact that the jobs market is just simply not as strong as the numbers make it appear to be. Okay. And I think that we're going to see the employment data weaken considerably over the next several months. And I think Powell knows that. And that's why he had that dovish tone last week. So we may be in a situation later in the year when the Fed is cutting ahead of an election, as the job situation, the employment situation does weaken, but inflation is still sticky around 3%. And so just think about that. That's for gold, that's a very nice backdrop with the fiscal situation completely a mess, with the deficits and the debt completely ballooning out of control, but the Fed is easing monetary policy, cutting interest rates when inflation is still above long-term trend, above target. It's setting the stage for, I don't want to say late 70s. It's not going to be the same perfect kind of situation as the late 70s, but 70s like situation for precious metals. So it just simply put is bullish for gold and silver.
Yeah, I mean, but everything that you're saying, I hear that. I think about the technicals. That to me screams Nirvana.
And then let me throw this in.
It sounds like Nirvana to me.
Let's go to Nirvana Turbo. China.
I like Turbo.
China consumers. Consuming gold, buying more gold. PBOC, Central Bank of China, continues to stockpile gold. A bifurcation of the global economy, de-dollarization. So throw all those factors in. We don't live on an island here in North America. So there's the rest of the world. And a big part of this gold move from 1820 last October to 2203 has been China buying. Right, the U.S. investors are underexposed to gold right now, and so the Nirvana move will really be when the Western investors participate more. You know,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The follow up to that is when do you see that happen? Maybe you already answered that. You said on the move from 22 to 24, or is it the move from 24 to 27?
Well,
I'm sorry to pin you down, but I mean, you know, the last interview you called for Nirvana and you nailed it. So You know, I think you're hiding a crystal ball back there somewhere, Goldie.
I think the move from 22 to 24 is greater recognition by the investing public of how cornered the Fed really is. And that happens in the second half of this year when they begin to cut, when the employment situation, you know, becomes more visibly weak and inflation is not really budging from that 3 to 3.2% on the CPI. So the Fed is not at target and they're kind of breaking their word by cutting when they have not returned it to the 2 to 2.5% range, right? And then the turbo nirvana happens when the lunatic wins in November and all shit goes haywire in 2025 and 2026. And then there, you know, there could be a lot of macro catalysts that aren't just monetary policy or the dismal fiscal situation in Western nations. Yeah, you know, it's kind of ironic. I mean, this is not really on topic, but the fact that Russia has very low national debt to GDP, it's kind of ironic that this country that is causing a lot of the things in the world today actually is the good fiscal actor.
Yeah, that's true. On another note, I mean, I assume you went to PDAC. Let's close this up by talking about, did you go to PDAC or am I presuming?
I did not. I skipped out on it, but I got some takes from people who did go.
That's even better.
Yeah, I mean, so well, like, what specifically do you want to talk about in terms of juniors?
Yeah, just what you're hearing, what's going on in your world, what you think about the sector, how companies will be impacted by this move to 2400.
Well, it's a unique situation because if we think about where sentiment was, like let's say even as recently as early February, it was pretty dire. And in the junior mining sector, a lot of companies are cutting back on spending, cutting back on drill programs. They're making smaller raises. You know, during the heydays of 2021, companies were raising $7, $8, $9, $10 million in financings. And now those same companies are raising $2 or $3 million. Some can't even finance at all, right? So there's definitely been a major downturn in the junior mining sector in the last year. But some key takeaways that I got from people at PDAC were, and you know, this is not just the PR side of, you know, the corporate side of things, you know, this is from investors, is there's some real money looking to position here in the junior mining sector. And so there are actually real investors cutting million-dollar checks and wanting to get in here now because they see this as opportunity. And I think that was very positive because there's one company I'm not going to name, but in particular, they were scratching around for $2 million at the end of 2023. Like their goal was to raise $2 million. I don't think they've closed the financing yet, but it looks like they're going to raise $5 or maybe even $6 million, including some pretty big name investors participating in the financing, right? And so when stuff like that happens, it reminds me of like 2020, when we had that turn in April and May of 2020, where suddenly there was money available. And in March, there was no money available. Right. And things change very quickly. And you know that things can, the sentiment can shift in 2 months. You know, it can be bleak and dire. And 2 months later, people are saying it's a bull market. Right. It can shift fast. And I feel like something like something of that nature is taking place now.
I mean, to give an example of that, I think it was like 3 weeks ago, I did a couple of videos explaining why we're not in a gold secular bull market. And literally days later, I'm like, all right, new bull market, new secular bull market. So I'm just pointing out. I mean, that's how it happens.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how it happens. And yeah, I mean, if there's one thing I would leave your viewers with here is number one, really learn how to be right and sit tight. And this is clearly a gold bull market. The mining sector is much, much trickier. And we can't say that. You know, we can't say that at all now. It's we can't say it's a bull market, but it could be transitioning to such. Okay. And so we need to pay attention. And this is the time to really do your homework and find what you want to be an investor in.
All righty. I think we should leave it there unless there's anything else you want to mention that we didn't cover.
I think, Jordan, I think that's pretty good. I mean, like I said at the start of the conversation, I think that we are due for a pullback in the gold price, and maybe it goes on for 2 or 3 days, but nothing I've seen so far tells me that 2203 is the end of the move. Okay. So be right and sit tight.
All right. Fantastic, Goldie. Before we close here, please tell our audience where they can go to follow you and the work that you do.
So my YouTube channel is at Goldfinger Capital. I've been putting out a weekly video there, so you can get some of my best takes there every week. It usually comes out on Sunday or Monday. You can find me on CEO.ca at Goldfinger. And as Jordan said, I'm at CEO Technician on X.
All righty, Goldie, thanks so much for joining me. I and my listeners, we really appreciate it. And let's check back in a couple more months and see if we've moved into Nirvana and then to the turbo Nirvana stage.
Sounds good, Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.